Hey church, this is Paul, one of your pastors. Welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. Today I'm joined by another one of our pastors, Kelton. How are you doing today, Kelton?
Hey Paul, I'm doing good.
Wonderful. Well, as of today, we are recording here Thursday, November 17th. We are just 1 week away from Thanksgiving and just a little over a month away from Christmas and New Year's. These are a joyful season for many reasons. One of them being that we often get to spend time with family. I know you have family flying down to celebrate with you all next week. That blessing of spending time with family does come, though, with difficulty. Because if there's anything that we've learned from the book of Genesis, it's that family can be messy.
Yep.
But we've also been reminded in the midst of that mess and sin that the sovereign providence of our God is unaffected. It continues to work and that he means that mess to accomplish good, which has been an encouraging theme for me and my family as we've considered that. But with that truth at the forefront of our minds, I thought it'd be appropriate if we took some time, just a few minutes, to answer the question, what does it look like as a Christian to live well among our family who may be Christian or may not be Christian? And so that's really the question that Kelton and I are going to try to provide some short wisdom on, recognizing that every family situation is different. And so the practical outworks of this may look different for each of you and each of your families. So let me just, Kelton, ask that question again, and can you summarize an answer for us? What does it look like as a Christian to live well among our family who may be Christian or who may not be?
Yeah, so I think as you reflect on what the Bible might encourage us to do, to be even, I think in four categories that we can talk about more about. Those four categories being evangelism, our sharing of the gospel with our family members who don't know the Lord. Walking in wisdom, that means, the way that we spend our time is wise, not unwise. To be marked by gracious speech, speech that gives grace to those who hear. And finally, being a peacemaker, that we want in our family to like our Father in heaven, be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker.
That's good.
So, brother, as we think about that first category, evangelism, are there more or less appropriate times for evangelism? And if so, what times might those be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I certainly want to say right off the bat, there is never a bad time for evangelism. It is always right. In fact, the Bible calls us in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give a defense always for the hope that is within us. So there is never a bad time to tell someone who is on their way to hell that there is a Savior who loves them, who lived, died, and rose again for them. There's never a bad time. Yep. And so let me just give some wisdom, maybe some questions to consider someone might process. Is this more or less appropriate? So one question I would consider is, Would bringing up this conversation now, at this moment, facilitate an opportunity for good conversation or for defensiveness? So as you're thinking about, is this a good time for evangelism? Is it going to bring up that conversation as an opportune time to promote, in-depth conversation, or is it only going to promote defensiveness from the person that you're talking to? I think another question would be, what's the state of mind of the person that I'm talking to, right? Are they stressed in the middle of preparing dinner, or are they relaxed, engaged, ready to engage with me? So just thinking about the state of mind, taking into account that while the holidays are restful, they're not always restful. There are seasons, moments of stress as we prepare. And then third would be, are you praying for opportunities? So it might be hard to see opportunities if we're not first praying, asking the Lord to present and give us boldness to take advantage of opportunities. And so those would just be some questions to consider as we think about more or less appropriate times.
Yeah, even as you say that, brother, I think that how important it is for us to be bringing these questions back to mind throughout the day as we get those, no, it's not a good time, or no, they're not in a good state of mind, that we can't just do that once, but we have to have to do that throughout the day, prayerfully. Again, the question is not is it good or bad, but are there more or less appropriate times? So yes, of course there are more appropriate times. It might be helpful, for example, to use a ridiculous example to prove the principle, right? It would be unwise, brothers and sisters, for you to go wake up your family member at 3 a.m. and insist that right now they get up and talk to you about the gospel. So that's just, you know, kind of a ridiculous example to prove the principle that there are better and worse times, more or less appropriate times. So likewise, I think it's probably best not to interrupt maybe while your family is busy cooking, and instead, you know, serve in that moment by helping to cook or watching the kids, you know, and wait rather for better times when you have a quiet moment, when you can more naturally talk one-on-one and ask more in-depth questions, and in that time really, really listen and engage.
That's good. I think that principle of pursuing one-on-one conversations is particularly helpful as we think about more and less appropriate times. I think often when we pursue group conversations, there's just more of a sense of defensiveness of the person. They feel attacked in front of other people. Mm-hmm. And so pursuing those one-on-one conversations is good. As you were talking, Kelton, you even kind of started hitting at, looking for ways to serve and walk in wisdom around as we try to look for opportunities to pursue evangelism, which, reminds me of kind of our second category as we look to live well among our family is to walk in wisdom, which is what Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, where Paul says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. So how can we walk in wisdom around the holidays, particularly, you know, thinking about the holiday day and the days around as families visiting, how can we make the best use of that time?
Yeah, certainly Paul, the apostle, as he writes this, has in mind, you know, every possible circumstance of every Christian at all time, right? There are a million and one applications of this. But, you know, just quickly off the top of my head, one way that many of us will be able to use to walk in wisdom, make the best use of the time is I would just encourage us to rest and feast, right? That too is a part of the life God calls us to occasionally step back from work, to occasionally take a break from our diets and feast, to enjoy and give thanks. Mm. And so it seems one of the best uses of the holidays is for those purposes, to rest, to feast, and to do so particularly with I think of Ephesians 5:20 in mind, where Paul calls on us to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. So there's just, in rest and feasting, there's a lot to give thanks for, and to do that in all those things, always giving thanks to God and Jesus Christ.
That's a good word. Ecclesiastes 3 comes to mind, right? For everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. So that's exactly what you're talking about. There's a time for rest, a time for feasting, and there's a time for work, and a time for dieting, watching what we eat. And it may be that the holidays are certainly a time to rest. And remember, I think a good principle as we do that and pursue that is 1 Corinthians 10:31, which calls us to whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God, right? To pursue that aim in our resting, in our feasting, is to pursue the glory of God. So walking in wisdom, I think, has that as its aim. How am I walking in a way that I'm pursuing the glory of God? And I think, just to counter, right, not to necessarily counter your point, but to press on the temptation that might be there to be lazy. I know it well on holidays. Mm. I want to just, particularly Thanksgiving, I'm thinking about, I want to sit down and watch football all day. I want to eat lots of turkey and enjoy pie and coffee. And I don't really want to have the mindset of serving. Yep. But I think that's sinful. That is not walking in wisdom. Right. Certainly there are times to rest. It is good to sit down and enjoy a football game with family, to enjoy that together. But just being aware of our temptations to either laziness or selfishness, and to try and live salty lives, to find opportunities to serve well, to not get angry when someone asks us to do the dishes or to help take out the trash, whatever it is. To in the midst of resting well, which I think it is certainly what holidays are for, to find ways to serve and pursue the glory of God in that.
Amen. So certainly what you're calling us to, brother, is to be intentional, right? Rest isn't just sitting on a couch, but it is an intentional time to look to the Lord for help and strength. But to, the same is true when we serve, right? To look to the Lord for help and strength. Yeah, so certainly, I think one of the ways that we can be intentional also is by our speech. one of the other things that we mentioned earlier was that we can, in our interaction with our family members and non-Christians, we can, have a gracious speech. So again, thinking of Colossians 4, continuing in verse 6, Paul calls on us to have speech always, be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So how can we be gracious in our speech, brother, seasoning it with salt?
Yeah, I think one way we season our speech well is the tone with which we speak. So as Paul talks about it, right, I think about a potato, right? The potato is our speech. Mm-hmm. And how do we season that potato? Well, we season it with salt. We season it with maybe some sour cream, some bacon bits. I've got good food on the mind. But how can we season our speech? Well, with our tone, right? Not just with the words that we say, but how we say those words. Mm-hmm. What is our tone communicating to our friends and family as we speak? So I think being aware of our tone is certainly one way. Another way that I think we can be gracious in our speech is to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Mm. Matthew 12:34, Jesus tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let me just encourage you, church. Yeah, we're 1 week away from Thanksgiving. If you commit yourself to reading the Bible every day for the next week, my guess, my prayer would be that your speech will automatically or just naturally be a little bit more gracious. And so I just encourage us to do that, to fill ourselves with the Word of God. So when we go to talk to others, we're ready to pour out in that gracious Word of God.
That's good, brother. Yeah, I think even one of those verses that we might be able to meditate on in advance of our conversations is James 1:19, right, where James calls on us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So not only is that helpful for us to meditate on, but also it does teach us a little bit what it looks like to have gracious, you know, seasoned speech, speech that involves carefulness to hear, to interact with, to understand what the other person is saying. And certainly not responding in anger. So if we're able to be quick to hear, slow to speak, it means asking good questions that get to the heart. And this really helps us in our evangelism as well, that one of the most natural ways that we can talk about the gospel is by talking with people about their joys and fears, right? Mm. What's really at the core of their heart.
Yeah, that's great, right? We're all kind of coming full circle here, right? We don't want to ever get too far away from the gospel. So thinking about how our walk, our speech, I'll come back to that. I think that then follows what kind of my last thought here, which is about being peacemakers, right? So one who's pouring, seeking opportunities for the gospel, one who's walking wisdom, having seasoned speech, ultimately comes as one who's pursuing being a peacemaker, which is what Jesus calls blessed. In Matthew 5:9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So often when we think about the holidays and we think about being a peacemaker, probably one of the most commonly thought of is the dinner table conversation and the conversations around difficult topics. And so as we think about what it means to be a peacemaker, brother, does it mean that we should just avoid difficult topics for the sake of peace? What does it look like to be a peacemaker?
Yeah, if the question is should we avoid topics because they're difficult for the sake of peace, the easy answer is no. Hmm. Peace is not ultimate. There are more important matters than simply peace. But I'd quickly add to that, conversations about difficult topics where no one is listening because everyone is angry and harsh are not helpful. They're counterproductive. So not only will they not bring peace, but they won't help anyone. So I would encourage people, maybe for the sake of a future, more productive conversation, it is best to avoid the topic now, to build bridges now at the dinner table, to just laugh and enjoy one another and build our relationship. Or maybe for some people, they're at the point that you just know that the two of you just cannot have a helpful conversation on the topic, whatever it is. Mm. And I think you have freedom there to pray and look for another avenue, a different topic to have meaningful conversations. And maybe in that way can build relationship where down the line you can talk about that other topic. Mm. Yeah.
That's hopeful. I think kind of summarizing that, like what you're getting at, right, is being thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Being thoughtful in how we are approaching these difficult topics. And I think that would be my encouragement, is just to be thoughtful, especially if we're the ones thinking about trying to bring up a difficult topic, right? Why are we bringing it up? Are we genuinely trying to pursue peace? I think you can try to pursue peace by bringing up difficult topics. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we bring it up so that we can feel like we're justified, or we just feel like we have to talk about this thing because this is the only opportunity that I'm going to get. And so I think just being thoughtful about why are we bringing up this topic? And if someone then brings it up to us, to be thoughtful in our response, to be careful as we seek to encourage them well to both answer it in a way that pursues peace, maybe doesn't give a full answer, maybe it moves the conversation, says let's talk about this at another time. Right now we're enjoying one another and pursuing peace that way. So thoughtfulness and prayer, certainly two ways that we can pursue that well. Well, church, as we've thought about this, we've made mention of Colossians chapter 4 a couple of times, verses 5 and 6. I think as we conclude, it's helpful to get the other bits of context of that. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, Paul writes, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." So Paul's encouragement to the church there is to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful. Particularly, he was asking for prayer for him, mm-hmm. that he might be bold. And so, brothers and sisters, pray for one another. If you know people have difficult family situations, and there's going to be opportunities here for division and peace breaking rather than peacemaking, be quick to pray for them. Text them Thanksgiving morning, "Hey, I'm praying for you this morning." Pray for one another. And then if you are the one in the messy situation, you're not sure exactly what holidays are going to look like, let me just encourage you to continue steadfastly in prayer. Your Lord hears you. He delights in you. He delights to answer prayers for wisdom, for saltiness in our speech, for opportunities for evangelism, for peacemaking. So the Lord will answer those prayers, and may He May he be delighted in how we interact with our families here in the coming weeks.